News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. So I'm going to switch gears now. That's enough wokeness. It's only so much wokeness I can talk about without just sitting around getting irritable. Charlene doesn't want me coming home irritable. So let me switch gears. Let's talk about number two on the Triple Dipper, election aftershocks. Yeah, listen, there are some. Okay, so remember, just using the analogy here, when you have an earthquake, then it's very common to have what they call aftershocks, which are mini quakes that occur thereafter. They can occur, you know, for days thereafter. Aftershocks. Election aftershocks are the things that are happening in the wake of the election day, like, you know, legal actions and things that runoffs are generating and votes that are too close to call and challenges asking for, okay, all that's happening right now in Alabama. By the way, we did well for the most part as a state again, but listen, there's some problems and there's some things happening and not all of it's related to election integrity. There's one that I'll tell you about here in a second that is, but wow, some of the stuff going on right now. So right now, story on AL.com. So if you hadn't heard, there was a proposed televised statewide debate that was going to be held for the runoff in the U.S. Senate race. Katie Britt, Mo Brooks. Well, it appears that Katie Britt has pulled out. Well, now she won, all right? She was ahead. She had 40, where's my numbers here? Let me look. She had somewhere in the neighborhood of 45%, I believe. Yeah, she had 45% of the vote. And Mo Brooks ended up with 29. Well, now both sides are trying to grab everything that Mike Durant had. Mike Durant had 23%. Of course, you had some other names in the race that did not achieve much, but those were the top three. So everybody wants those others. One of the means by which, you know, Brooks believes he can best get the word out is to stand on stage with Katie Britt and go back and forth. Katie Britt won't do it. And so Mo Brooks, headline on AL.com, Mo Brooks says Katie Britt is too weak to debate. Britt retaliates by saying Brooks just wanted a circus. I got news. Debates are a part of the election process. You have two styles of gatherings. You have debates and you have forums. A candidate forum is where it's not a debate. You just both are on the stage. You both have the opportunities to answer questions, but you don't go back and forth. A debate is when you literally go back and forth and you make the case that your side, your position, your whatever is better than the others. Britt is apparently refusing to do that, and I guarantee you she's in what they call do-no-harm mode. She had the 45%. She only needs 5% plus one vote, and she can take this, you know, to the House. But right now, she won't do it. And I'm sure that's because her team is saying, we don't need to risk getting on stage with Brooks because he knows what he's doing. He's a lawyer. He's also been a congressman. He knows how to answer the questions, and he's going to call you out. And you don't want to have to deal with that. Well, I got news. If you want to be a U.S. freaking senator, you have to deal with that kind of stuff. Are you going to avoid the hard issues when you get to D.C.? So I really wish they would debate. I think that would be important. There's one election aftershock happening right now. Here's another. Story on 1819 News just this morning. Interview with Mike Durant, I believe by Ray Melick, who is the chief editor for 1819, been on the show multiple times. Headline for this is Durant on the election loss says, quote, the process is as broken as you can possibly imagine. So you can read the article and you can see his angst. Durant is extremely, not only disappointed, he's disenchanted, disenfranchised with the process of running for office. Several quotes in the story. I mean, Durant talks about the fact he basically says, I'm a guy who spent all these years serving my country and then building a business. And he literally thought that it would be an opportunity for a guy with a good resume to go to D.C. to do good things and did not expect to have to deal with some of the, what he calls, absolute fabrications and misinforming of voters. He said there's a problem there, an absolute problem. He said this was a Republican primary. I'm quoting Mike Durant here. This was a Republican primary. The Ronald Reagan years were the glory days of the Republican Party, he says. There's a reason we're not there anymore. Everybody has their own agenda. Nobody cares what's right for the conservatives of the country, the backbone of this country. Reagan's 11th commandment was, quote, thou shalt not speak ill of any fellow Republican. Well, we're a long way from that, said Durant. He says, yeah, I was shocked at the lies and the corruption and the influence on the media. And then he went on to say, and he focused most of this on Britt, although he did also mention Brooks. He said, the Senate race was really an open seat. I came to that, was not really an open seat. He said, I came to that realization. This was against an incumbent Shelby candidate that had no desire whatsoever to let go of the power and was willing to do anything to hold on to it. That's Durant's call. He says the most shocking thing to him was them determining that he was Second Amendment, that he was a Second Amendment hater. When he said, everyone knows the speech I gave, I was talking about Somalia. Well, there's that. There's an election aftershock. By the way, one thing that he had said on the eve of the election was that if he lost, if he was in third place, he was going to swing his support behind Brooks. He's apparently changed his mind. In this article, and I'm sorry to know that he's not going to stay involved in some capacity, because I think he should. But he says on here, where did it go? I lost my place in the article. Wait one. He says, he goes on to say, I'm not going to vote, which, Mike, you got to vote. You can't be a guy who ran for office and then be a guy who says, I'm not going to vote. But he says that he will not support either candidate now in the runoff. He says, in retrospect, Durant says the election opened my eyes and left him so disgusted by what he called the attack ads by both Brent and Brooks that he will not support either one in the runoff. And he went on to say, I'm not going to vote. And I think that's the wrong tack. If Durant, if you're listening, or any of your folks are listening, I just want to encourage you, you got to stay in the process. You got to stay in the fight. Night Stalkers don't quit. Enough of that. Moving on. All right. Other things that are happening in the world of election aftershocks. So Etowah County, Alabama, a place that I am intimately familiar with. Etowah County, Alabama. I told you the other day, didn't I? I know I did. About the issues going on when the Board of Registrars apparently did not do their job. By the way, they all need to lose their jobs. All three people in that Board of Registrars office in Etowah County need to lose their jobs because they didn't do it. Election integrity means something. Right now, the systems are okay, but the systems mean nothing if the human error is such that it involves basically negligence. Even to the extent of recklessness, I don't know. But what we're looking at right now is the Board of Registrars, when the redistricting happened last year, they never went back and corrected all the names to put them in the right districts. I don't know if they were incompetent or just negligent. But in any event, what happened is I'm hearing secondhand that there could be up to 1,000 names in Etowah County that were not in the right new House district, House District 28 and 29. And that is a big, hairy deal. I mean, you know how this came out? You talk about a wake-up call. There's a fellow named Steve Reagan, who I've known for years. Steve Reagan wanted to run for the House. He was going to run for House District 29. He went to the registrar's office and said, I'm going to declare my candidacy. I want to verify where I live according to the new lines. And they said, oh, no, Mr. Reagan, you don't live in that district. You can't run. Oh, shoot. Then he goes to the polls on Election Day. What do? They handed him a District 29 ballot. And he's like, wait a minute. What? I think his words in the article that I've got here in my hands from AL.com were, what the crap? All right. That happened. But it got bigger. Of those two House races, both of them ended very close. Now, one of them, between my friend Mac Butler and really somebody else who I've known quite well for quite a while too, Gil Isbell, State Representative Gil Isbell, it was close enough to where Mac only won by 200 and something votes, but that was like a 52-48 spread when you count the overall percentages. But 202 votes, and the provisional ballots didn't make a bit of difference in that. But in looking at the problems now, Gil Isbell has an issue with this. The other race is between two guys who I also know quite well. Jamie Grant, a county commissioner, and Mark Gidley, a pastor, both running for the state house in District 29. And lo and behold, that one is literally only about 75 votes apart. And it appears that of that 1,000 or so names that were in the wrong place, about 120 of those actually went and voted. So 120 people voted in the wrong district. Here's the story on AL.com. Headline, candidates call for a new election after acknowledged voting problems in Etowah County. And everything I just told you still stays. So now the two candidates who lost the races, which would be Jamie Grant and Representative Gil Isbell, and Steve Reagan, who wanted to run and couldn't, they all want the state party to declare a new election for House Districts 28 and 29. I don't think it's going to happen, but this is part of the process. Immediately after the certification of the vote, you have X amount of time to petition and challenge and ask for a new election. State Republican Party Chairman John Wall said last week the party was incredibly upset about the situation and was investigating and looking for the best way to fix it based on the law. On Tuesday, Wall said the party would certify the results, which they did, which he said would then be subject to challenge by the candidates. Wall said tonight the party's candidate committee, a 21-member panel that he chairs, would hear the election challenges. The date of the hearing is yet to be determined. Now, John Merrill says, according to state code, Alabama's code section 17-13-42, that there is no provision allowing for a last-minute addition of a new vote. You have to have 60 days notice. If they do it, it would be a special election to be very costly. Okay, here's the deal. I've been the attorney on an election challenge before, and it's hard to do, but it's possible. Except that Gil Isbell went ahead and just said in today's article that if they don't grant him the new election by means of the party, that he won't challenge it legally. Well, Gil, you just sucked all the air right out of your argument, because if they're not worried about your legal action, then why should they change anything? Anyway, election aftershocks. A few more of those I'll tell you about when we get back from this break. Kelsey, go ahead and move us to the break, man. But listen, elections have consequences, but sometimes elections generate additional activity, and these aftershocks are being felt all over the state. A couple more I'll tell you about when we get back. And oh, by the way, right here in the listening area, more runoffs in the northern part of the state than anywhere else. I'll tell you about them when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVMN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, you're going to want to hang around because top of the hour, Grand Council, myself, my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, all doing it once a week on Thursday afternoons at 4. We do this thing, the Grand Council. We ping each other with questions. We don't even know what the questions are in advance. And then we see how we just, you know, we compare and contrast as to what we think about certain things in the political, social, cultural arena from a conservative standpoint. So you're going to want to stay tuned to that. Top of the hour, right after the news break, we'll have the Grand Council. Hey, listen, we got more runoffs in North. In fact, Jeff Poor just texted me and said, what's going on in Lauderdale County? And because the state party released its list of runoffs. Well, I've got a list right here, too, from WHNT, our own Channel 19. WHNT says, here are the Alabama electoral candidates for the 2022 runoff election. And in size 10 font, it's 2.5 pages. I don't know that I've ever seen this many runoffs. Now, it's not all Republican, by the way. One of the biggest ones is the Democrat candidate for governor, which, you know, stands about a snowball's chance of getting elected over Kay Ivey. But nonetheless, the Democrat candidate for governor, the runoff is between Malika Sanders Fortier, who is a current state senator, the daughter of longtime Democrat state senator Hank Sanders, and somebody named Yolanda Flowers, who I don't know. But anyway, the two of them are in a runoff. Of course, you got the U.S. Senate Republican primary. Then you got Casey Wardinsky and Dale Strong for the U.S. 5th Congressional District. That's a big one. That's going to cover most of North Alabama. Then you got the Secretary of State. That's everybody voting on Jim Ziegler and Wes Allen. Then you've got State Auditor Andrew Sorrell, Stan Cook. And then you've got, here's one, House District 2 over towards the Shoals, I believe. Ben Harrison had the largest number of votes, but they did not know who the number 2 was going to be for the runoff until just Tuesday. So now it's Ben Harrison and Jason Black. It was that close. I guess the provisional ballots are what kicked it in. You got also House District 4, Parker Moore and Patrick Johnson. You got House District 20, James Lomax, Francis Taylor. You got Cobra County District Judge. You got the DeKalb County Board of Education. You got Lauderdale County Commission. You got Lauderdale County Board of Education. You got Limestone County District Court Judge and Lawrence County Commission District Number 5 Republican. Oh, I'm just saying, it's unbelievable how many runoffs there are. So here's the thing. Don't get jaded. Y'all, we got to go to the polls. And what's going to be interesting to see, too, is how does the North Alabama heavy runoff season, if you will, weigh into the Katie Britt, Mo Brooks race? I don't know. But we do know this. It appears that Katie Britt is strong on South Alabama. And I think my recollection is she's originally from the Wiregrass area herself, personally, like down in the Dothan area. I'm going from memory. But anyway, but she is from South Alabama, I believe. Of course, Mo Brooks is from up here in the North Alabama region. And if we have this many reasons for people to go to the polls in North Alabama, will that help Mo Brooks? I don't know. One of those election aftershocks things you just wonder about. Things that make you go, hmm. All right, other stuff happening. Let me just tell you. There's about to be some legal challenges. I'm already hearing that Senator Tom Watley down in Lee County, Auburn area, who lost his home county pretty big to a guy named Jay Hovey, but he won his outlying counties. After all of the provisional ballots were counted and everything was done, the incumbent state senator Tom Watley lost by one vote. One vote out of tens of thousands of votes cast in that district. One vote. One vote over a three-county race. One vote. Well, I fully suspect that Tom Watley is filing a challenge and asking for a recount at the very least, I would think. I don't know what the grounds will be for him to challenge. I would think at the very least he would ask for a recount, because if you recount, although the recount's hard because the machines have the tapes get added up, the tabulation is done by machine. It's hard to say that was done wrong. But if you can see provisional ballots or absentee ballots or military ballots that should not have been discounted, but they were, and you can get them added back in, all you need is two, and you win the race. Listen, I'll end with this. When I represented just a wonderful lady who ran for city council in Rainbow City, Alabama, she ran for city council and lost by one vote. And I said it earlier on the show, and I've said it more than once. You know, I was her attorney. We challenged 11 provisional ballots that were not counted. We proved that 9 of them should have been. And unfortunately, it was that weird deal where I said earlier, you know, we won the case but lost the race because when we opened the ballots, because we didn't know what they were, we didn't cherry pick. We picked ballots that should have been counted. Lo and behold, she still lost by one. But it was her right to challenge it. It is your right under Title 17 of the state code to challenge it. And I guarantee you, there's going to be some legal challenges mounting up because they have to do it within 48 hours, which is today. All right, folks, coming back after the break, we got one of my favorite moments, the Grand Council. Dale Jackson, Jeff Poore, and me. We'll be right back.